talking about the My Small Biz Map, and more specifically, hub and spoke marketing. So if you're just joining us, hopefully what you've done is you've taken a couple minutes to either download or open your copy of the My Small Biz Map, and if you are missing it, it's available at mysmallbizmap.com as a download. So you can go and actually subscribe there if you don't already have it, and you'll get a copy of the map. Now, this is a PDF map, and it's a single-page cheat sheet. Exactly what it is a cheat sheet, and it's got an image on it of a special kind of business map that I've created, and the purpose of it is specifically to help you follow step by step through. There's actually 10 steps, but there's 11 key principles on the map, and when you see it, you'll understand what the 11th one is, I hope, because it's right in the middle, and that's the one we'll be talking about first. But there's 10 steps to follow in this business map, and hopefully it'll become very clear to you, crystal clear, in fact, as you take a look at the map. And what we're going to be doing in this particular session is we're going to be going over the map and those 10 key steps to get started. Now, the thing that's kind of interesting for me, of course, is that there is one thing or center to this hub and spoke map. And if you take a look at the map, and I hope you've had a chance to get it now or have it in front of you, it says business model, a clear vision of how you want your business to run. But more importantly, what I want you to consider while you're reading that sentence or listening to me read that sentence is that, in fact, not only do you have to decide on how you want your business to run, but you have to decide how you want your life to run. See, even if we go through all of these steps today, and however much time that I take talking about them, the fact is that if you don't take any of those steps, nothing's going to happen. So, yes, you can have a business model, and yes, you can read through these steps, these tactics and strategies, everything that's covered here, but if you don't take any of the steps, if you don't have a goal or a vision for your own life and your business, you're going to be hard-pressed to make any of this work, and in fact, you're going to be struggling through it, even though the steps are there and the steps work. So, you know, take a look at the center of it, and I put it at the center for a reason, because everything else radiates out from you and your business. And I'm not trying to make it sound as if you have to be selfish, but business, and specifically entrepreneurship and small business, is not only about money, it's about a lifestyle. And you've got to decide if this lifestyle is for you. It's diametrically opposed to what traditionally people have been involved in, which is being employed by someone else. Now, I don't know about you, but myself, I've spent a lot of time in the employ of others, and I wasn't a great employee. I didn't like being told what to do. On the other hand, if you find that, you know, that you lack direction when you're by yourself, entrepreneurship and small business may not be for you either, because you need to be told specifically what to do. And you need the whip to be cracking over top of you to get you going. So whether it is something that you strive for, or it's a lifestyle that you want to become involved in, there's some costs and stuff that has to happen for you to be successful at it. And really that mindset that comes with being self-employed, an entrepreneur, a small business owner, is something that you'll have to work on for the rest of your life. It's not something that you just flick a switch and all of a sudden you're a perfect small business person. It's something that takes your time and your energy and your focus. So, you know, take a look at it in the middle and say, okay, yeah, I'm interested in this small business thing, and I understand, you know, a business model. But more importantly, I understand that I've got to be prepared to do the work and put the effort in that's necessary for this to all happen. And, of course, one of the little caveats that I'm going to sort of remind you up front is that if this is something you think you're going to be independently wealthy next week because you heard or read somewhere that the Internet was the place to earn money or to start a business, you know, you might as well just tune out now, because this is a business. It's not a lottery. It's not a ticket that you purchase and all of a sudden money shows up at your doorsteps. This is something that you actually have to focus and work on. So give your head a shake and understand that, hey, I'm in here for the long haul. This is something that I'm committed to either applying what I already know or learning what I need to know to make things happen. So that's in the middle. That's something that you need to think about at all times and ask yourself, is what I'm doing moving me towards my goal or is it moving me away from my goal? You know, on some of the whiteboards and videos that I do, you'll find that there's often a star up in the upper right-hand corner. And I always put that there as a reminder to people that, you know, you've got that dream that you're wishing for. But wishing isn't enough. You actually have to take some steps toward it. You want to stay focused on it, and you also want to take steps toward achieving it. And you've got to ask yourself, evaluate at all times, and say, is what I'm doing helping me get there, or is it hurting me? Is it taking me farther away from getting there? And the interesting thing in life is if you do more things that move you towards something, that actually work towards getting what you want, you're going to be far more successful than if you do more things that move you away from what you want. So take the time now to make a commitment, not only to your business, but to yourself, to say, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm committed to it. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll learn what I need to learn. I'll do what I need to do. And more importantly, I understand it's not something that's going to happen in 12 minutes. This is a business that you start, that you build, and that you grow. And the great thing about having your own business, of course, is that if you take the time and energy to spend educating yourself, your customers, and building this business, it will pay off in spades. Not just one time, but for all times. You know, there's lots of people that I know now who are serial entrepreneurs, people who have actually built several businesses. I was reading actually a report that I downloaded today, and it was about Richard Branson, Sir Richard Branson. And I think he had been speaking at a seminar, and one of the other speakers was kind of thrown off when he found out that Mr. Branson had 309 companies. 309 different companies or corporations that he controlled. So you don't have to have 309, you have to have one company that you control, but if you position it properly, it's going to put yourself into a position where it can give you the security and the lifestyle that you want. And really, that's the thing that I wanted to mention just about this last thing in the middle, is that you want a business model. Now, a business model is something that is duplicatable. Now listen to that word again, duplicatable. You want to make sure that whatever business that you're in, that the earning of the income or the revenue is something that can be duplicated. And what that means is that you've got a set formula or a process that you can follow, that you know that if I take these steps or follow through this process, you know that whatever is going to be outputted at the end of it is always going to be the same. It's always going to be the same. And that's a model. It's something that you can follow, and it's consistent. And that's the best thing about, you know, deciding about your small business is, well, it's not the best thing, it's the hardest thing, actually. One of the things that people struggle with, if they can't find a model that works really quickly, what they do is they give up. But once you do find a model, the thing that you want to do is keep that model in the center of your business, and remember that, you know, that I always get a kick out of watching some entrepreneurs who figure out a model or get a business model that works, and then what they do is they try and find another one. And they get frustrated. They keep on changing the model every time. You know, that's like if you want to build a car, and you design a car and get one car built, and then you change the model every time. You know, car makers wouldn't make much money if they made individual cars for everyone. Either that, or they'd have to have their customers pay an awful lot of money to have one-off cars. In business, it needs to be duplicatable. So you're going to have a model, and you are going to have to mentally be consistent, focusing it on the goal that you want. So if you get this map, put it up in front of you and just consider that, hey, what is that star, that goal, that dream that I have? What is it that I'm working towards? Keep that in front of you. If you get a business model or a process put together through these 10 steps, keep it in front of you and duplicate it. Now, the best thing is as we go through the 10 steps, what you'll see is this hub and spoke process that I'm about to describe, what it allows you to do is just that. It's a duplicatable process, and the best part is that it works in any business. The process works in any business. Why? Well, because it's a marketing process. It's a marketing process that you're applying to a specific business. And that process and your business becomes your business model. Okay, so here we go. What we're going to do is I'm going to go through the 10 steps. And again, the map is there for a reference for you so that you have a chance to look at it. And always, 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 what you can do on that map is you can click on any of the individual links. And what you'll find is they go to the My Small Biz University site, and there's a video there. Now, some of the videos are 15, 20 minutes long. The majority of them are 4 to 5 minutes long. And what they do is they give you a description of and or an application of the particular topic that we're looking at. So, for example, if we went and clicked on number 1, which is research, you're going to find out what the heck research is, why you should research, what it is, how you do it. And again, all of the information is there for you to follow. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go in briefly just sort of the steps that I've identified after 10, 11, actually it's 11 years online now. My first website was registered in 1996, virtualselling.com. I still have that domain, but that was my very first domain that I had of my own. That was 11 years ago. So I've been doing this a little while, and I've made more mistakes than I care to remember. And that's one of the things that I want you to understand is that when we go through these steps, you know what? You might make some mistakes, and that's okay. That's okay. Don't worry about it. What I want you to do is make sure that if you do make a mistake, you document it and don't make the same mistake twice. Learn from it. Do something different and ask yourself, is this getting me closer to my goal or is it taking me farther away? And continue to do the things that move you closer. And make sure that you don't do or repeat the things that take you further away. So the very, very first step in this whole process, other than the fact and deciding that you have what it takes and making a personal commitment to having your own small business, is you're going to have to do some research. And there's a couple steps that I've identified in here. The first one being surf and subscribe. Now, I did a 4 or 5 page PDF for members who want to really understand what surf and subscribe is, and it's really a 7-day set process that you can go through when you get started. And this is really for people who don't know what it is that they want to do. They know they want to have a business online, but they're not really sure what particular market they should be in, or, you know, if there is a particular market that interests them, it's not really clear to them where they should go. So you want to make sure you do your research. The first thing is surf and subscribe. And really what that allows you to do is put your big toe into the waters in a number of different places to take the temperature, to find out if it's too cold for you or if it's too hot for you or if it's just right. And again, you want to go through this entire process to find out what it is that you want to do in your business, what market you want to be in, what kind of customers you want to have, what kind of products and services that you want to get involved in. But it's really about researching to find out, is there a market that's available for me that I'm passionate about? Now, one of the things I'm going to talk about in this research section just briefly is it's what I call is the talking parrot with acne syndrome. And if you've spent any time on the internet, or if you've read any other programs or seen information on how to earn money on the internet or how to build your business on the internet, you'll often be told that you have to find a particular niche or niche, whichever way you want to pronounce it. And that particular niche or niche market, what it is, it's a market that is very, very small and specific. But what you want to do in this research step is you want to find a market that has high demand or people who are looking for information, products, or services in that market, and low supply, where there's not many people who are providing those products and services to that particular market. And you always hear, for example, there's always all sorts of examples about, you know, having a book that teaches parrots how to talk, or, for example, you know, how to cure acne. And the problem with all of these sort of approaches, in my opinion, during the early days for most people getting started, is just that. It's the talking parrot with acne. First of all, it's very, very, very hard to find a particular niche or niche market that is not being serviced right now that has high demand. It's hyper competitive. There's lots of people in every market. So that's the first thing. It ends up that if you follow the steps that some of the other people and marketers are talking about, you're going to end up trying to sell products and services into markets that you have no interest in, no expertise in, and frankly, you don't have the time of day for it. I don't know anything about parrots, and I don't really care about parrots. Why would I want to sell something in there? Just to earn money? Is it something I can build a business on? Probably not. Probably not. So I'm not a huge fan of the traditional approach, which is try and find a market like talking parrots or teaching your parrot who has acne to talk. Sure, it's a very, very specific niche, and you know what? There might be no competitors in there, and you know what? There might even be some demand in there. I'm not really sure. The bottom line is that unless you're really interested in teaching parrots to talk and fixing acne, why do you want to try to build a business in there? So this whole step on research is not necessarily finding a market that is viable for you. It's about finding out what it is that you enjoy, that you're passionate about, that you have either the expertise or the willingness to learn in, and finding that particular market and all of the nuances that go with it that allow you to be able to say, you know what? There is keywords and keyword phrases, and if you don't know what keywords and keyword phrases are, we'll cover that in another session. But there is a market there. There are people there that are interested in a particular question or have a particular problem that I can solve. And you know what? I'm interested in that, and I'm willing to do the work to learn about it. Because remember, this is a long-term view of it. You wanted to sit about it and think in your research and say, you know what? How am I going to position my business? Is it something that I can brand as something as my own? Is it something that I'd be proud of? Does it support my business model and the vision for what my business is going to be in the future? So research is not about finding a niche market that you can sell to. It's finding a niche market that you can build a business around. And that's the key distinction there. So that's the first step in all of this, is finding out, you know, hey, what business am I going to be in? What market am I going to serve? What kind of customers am I going to have? And what are the problems that they have? And am I comfortable? Can I sleep at the end of the day? And can I go to the friend's or neighbor's house or the cocktail party or the business networking meeting? And can I confidently say that I'm in a particular market and be proud of what I'm doing? I think that's what this whole section about research is about. And really what we're doing is we're making sure that we're comfortable with our particular business that we're going to be working in, starting, building, and growing. And you know what? Don't go past this step one, until you're comfortable with it. Don't go any further. You don't need to. Why bother? If you can't get past this part, don't go any further. And that's why the very, very first step in research is surf and subscribe. And we've actually outlined a couple different ways to get started in here. And really what happens is if you follow the steps here in this research section, what's actually going to happen for you is that a market will be revealed to you that was probably one that you were in anyway that you really didn't know about. And it might be packaged a little bit differently than what you expected, but I can guarantee you it's there. So if you do the surf and subscribe work, you do that research work, what you want to do is you want to verify that in fact there is a business that you can start. You want to verify, and don't go through that step. If you look at the map again, right next to the research section, there's a little stoplight, red, yellow, green, and it says verify your market first before you go to get set up. And that's step number two, is going to get set up. Now, there's a number of things that you do to get set up. And remember, these hub and spoke steps, they're in a circle because this is a cyclical process. It's something that you're going to go through over and over and over again. It's not like you go step 1 through 10 and then you stop. What happens is you're going to go through the 10 steps, and you know what? At the 10th step, you're going to go back and you're going to start number 1 again. Number 2, number 3, and you're going to keep on cycling through. And each time, it's a little bit different as you cycle through. But I want to talk about getting set up. You've verified your market. You have to think about, okay, I've got this sort of business that I'm comfortable with. I know that there's a particular market or people who are willing to spend some money. And I know that there's perhaps a product or service that they're willing to spend money on. You know, how am I going to get this set up so that I can provide it to them? And there's a number of things that you're going to need over time to get your business set up. And in fact, there's services, there's tools, there's systems, there's financial stuff and legal stuff you're going to have to look at. So we've included all of those individual pieces in the map. Understand that you don't have to have all of these done the first time through. There's a couple little things you need to get done. And again, we've included those in instructions in the videos. But understand that, you know, if you're going to have a business, think about the long-term goal of the business again the first time that you go through. And I'll give you an example why. Why are these systems important? Well, the very first time that I started, just to give you an example, I had a billing and accounting system that was taking care of all of the orders that I was getting. And you know what? That particular system didn't have all of the features and functions that I need. And what happened was that I had to change it. I changed it twice. And then the company that I was using to do all of this billing system as a third-party billing system, it went out of business in the country that I was in. It was only allowed to do business to take orders in the States, and I'm in Canada here. So guess what happened? My entire membership site, all of my existing customers, all of their records were no longer valid. The memberships were recurring payments, no longer valid. And what happens? Well, you have to deal with that stuff. There's legal ramifications, terms of service, privacy rules, all of these things that you have to consider and say, okay, what is my business going to look like 1 year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now? My suggestion is that if you know you're in it for the long term, you want to try and get it set up to support the long-term vision. Because the most painful thing that happens in any internet marketing business that I've seen is once you get going, you end up spending more time trying to fix up your systems and your setup than you actually do marketing your business or providing the product or service that you are providing for your customers. So you want to make sure that you take a look and say, okay, I understand what it is that I want now to do. But if it is a year from now or 2 years from now, is that particular system that does that, is that something that can grow with me? And I believe that you want to make sure that you have something that will grow with you. I've had to change billing systems in this example, I believe 5 times now in the last 10 years. And every 2 years, there's something new coming along that supports it. Now, the interesting thing is that it works out to every 2 years, but I've been using the same one now for the last 4 years. So I've got one that works that I can grow with. There's stuff like affiliate programs, contact lists, customer relationship management, support desk, all sorts of systems that are things that are required to run a business. And a lot of people get really hung up on this and they say, well, you don't want to spend too much time on this up front. And I agree, you don't. That's why I said you don't have to do all of them to get started if you're just beginning. But what you want to do is you want to make sure that you're aware of the fact that they're going to be needed at some point in time. Maybe not today, but pretty soon they're going to be needed. And the faster that you're able to start, build, and grow your business, the faster that you're going to be able to, or need them, in fact. Okay, so there's lots of information there in that get set up section. And I think the main thing that I want you to understand is that some of these services, for examples, or tools are ones that you can register but not use yet. And I'll give you an example. Some of these particular tools are things like Google Analytics, which does tracking and conversion tracking for your websites, or AdSense accounts, or affiliate accounts that you want to open up. And if you don't know what an affiliate is, again, we have some videos and courses that will help you out to make sure that you're clear on that. But being able to recognize and, in fact, oh, that's what it is and that's what I'm going to need in the future, that's vitally important stuff. So you've got a particular market in research. You've verified it. Now you want to take a look and say, okay, what are the basic things that I need to get set up? Or if you're an advanced marketer, you're going to take a look at that getting set up section. You're going to say, oh, good, I've got all of my bases covered. And once you've got your bases covered, the next thing you're going to need to do is you're going to have to start building some websites. Now notice the word that I used. I didn't say a website. It's websites. Multiple websites. And if someone tries to tell you that you only need one website, they're wrong. You're going to need multiple websites. And specifically, I'm going to explain right now how this whole situation works with hub and spoke marketing. Now you'll notice that I've got a hub and the spokes coming out in the graphic that you're looking at the map, but in fact your business is going to look similar to this hub and spoke as well. And I want you to think about this just briefly, because there's a number of different websites that I've mentioned actually on that section 3 where it says start building your hub site. And you'll see that right above the 3, there's the word tools. We've got WordPress, FrontPage, and Joomla are the tools. And then on the right-hand side, it's got yourname.com, squeeze pages, blogs, mini sites, sales pages, and memberships. So those are the different types of web pages and sites you're going to be building. The question is, how do they all fit together? How do they all fit together? Well, I'm going to explain hub and spoke marketing right now just so that you understand it. And I want you to think about this. Now, I've heard a couple examples given, or a couple analogies given, just so that you understand the difference between how this whole process works. But, you know, if you take a look at it as baseball or even dating, for example, you know, when you take a look at your customer and the relationships that you have with your customers, and please think of them as relationships. If you take a look at the relationships that you have with your customers and you think about that, what happens when you meet someone new for the first time? Now, sometimes you might want to ask them to marry you on the very, very first date or the first time that you meet someone, but in most cases you don't do that. You want to get to know the person first. You want to start finding out who they are, what they like, what they don't like, if they have a certain kind of personality or traits or characteristics that agree or disagree with you. And this takes some time and it takes some experience between both parties. This is exactly the same thing that happens with your potential customers in your market. You know, you can ask them to buy right away, but in most cases, 99% of the population is conditioned to say no as soon as someone wants to buy something or is asked to buy something. If you go into a store, for example, the salesperson or clerk comes up and says, "Can I help you with anything?" And the first thing that most people say is, "No, I'm just looking." Well, of course you are. You're in a store to buy something. But your conditioned response is, "No, leave me alone. I'll let you know when I'm ready to buy." And that's the exact same thing that happens when people go to your website or your business, whether it's online or offline. "No, leave me alone. I'll let you know when I'm ready to buy." So we have to have a process with our websites that allows us to build a relationship, and it also gives people the ability to buy when it's time for them to buy. And of course, we want to control that process in terms of making sure that the steps are available to the person to purchase and that those steps make sense for them. But we've got to design our business that allows them or complements what's already happening mentally for our prospective customers. And that's what this hub and spoke system is all about. Now, I want you to think of this for a second. If I'm going to build a relationship with you, usually what you're going to need to do is you're going to have some kind of comfort level or trust level with me before you're prepared to go and spend any money. Or in fact, let me know a little bit about you. So really what we need to do is we need to build some trust. And the way that trust gets built online, there's a number of ways, psychological ways, but I'm going to suggest the most important way is to letting people know what it is that not only you do, but what you believe to be true and your opinion on things. You want to give them information that allows them or helps them make decisions. So what we need to do is we need to create what's called a hub site. And a hub site, the purpose of the hub site is to create a repository of information that allows people to make decisions in our favor. This is a site that's packed with information. It's not packed with buy now buttons. It's not packed with all about me buttons. It's packed with information that's about or designed specifically to answer questions and problems that our potential buyers have. This is the site where what we're doing is we're building credibility, but more important, we're building trust and rapport with our potential customers. This is the site that the purpose of which is only upfront to collect an email address or some personal credentials, contact information that allows us to start building a relationship. The only sale that's made on the hub site is for you actually to collect the email address or to start building out an email address or that relationship with someone. We don't want to sell anything, and in fact, we want to buy something. What we're doing on that hub site, or the purpose of the hub site, is to buy their email address or buy the right to continue talking to them. And how do we do this? Well, we'll learn in some further sections, but understand this. We're not selling anything. We're buying something on the website. So this site is all about creating information for our customers, and we're giving it to them in exchange for their email address. So we're buying their email address. We're buying their phone number. We're buying their name, and we're paying for it with our information on our hub site. Okay, so I just want you to understand that hub site. That's the first site that you want to work on building, is to start building that relationship. The rest of the sites that we'll cover later on are generally for selling something. What are we selling? Our products, our services, our time, our energy, our effort, our information. Everything else gets sold on those sites, but we're going to create separate individual sites to sell separate and individual products. And the purpose of those sites is only one thing, to make the sale. We're not informing and educating. We're not necessarily grabbing email addresses or furthering a relationship. We're going for the home run. We're going for the marriage. We want to get a commitment out of the customer on those particular sites. And the one thing that I just want to stress here, and this is the most important thing with websites, there are different websites that serve different purposes, but in all cases, the purpose of the websites at the hub or at the center of our business are for us to purchase an email address or contact information. All of the other sites, the purpose of them is to sell our products or services or to move them forward on another step towards a purchase. So one is us buying, the rest is us selling. And the problem that most people run into when they're online marketers or small business people is they try and do both on one website. And you know what? It just doesn't work. It may look good to your web designer or your graphics designer, but you know what? To the brain cells of your potential customer, they're confusing. You want to keep things as simple as possible for your customer so that they know, what am I supposed to do while I'm here? What am I supposed to do while I'm here? And we make it very, very simple. If it's a site where they're supposed to buy something, that's the only choice they have. If it's a site where they're supposed to get in and get information and read and research and learn about us, that's what we do. We keep it very, very straightforward so that they understand what it is that they're supposed to do without having to think about it and figure things out. So you're going to learn to build a whole bunch of websites using some of those tools, and you're going to learn to built some specific pages to complement some of those processes that we just talked about. And if you look actually over right on the opposite side of number three, build websites, you'll see these things called money spokes. Money spokes are, in fact, the products and services that we have, own, or have the rights to. And those are the things that we're going to be selling to people. Our hub site is our information. Our money spokes are our sales pages and places where we sell our products and services, or products and services that we have the right to sell or earn money with. They're spokes off of the hub that represent potential streams of income to us. Okay? So we'll get into a little more detail on that as well. So let's say we built a website, and again, we have a step for intermediate, advanced, and beginners, but I'm going to suggest that, you know, on the right-hand side for build websites, it says yourname.com. The very, very first thing that you should do is always, always, always register your name if you can. And start there. I believe that everyone should have their own blog or own website with their own name.com. And again, there's a couple strategies if you've got a name like Bill Smith or John Smith or John Doe, where you may not be able to get your own name. There's some variations of that allow you to have the same effect. Still brand yourself and make sure that you're positioned well, but you've got your own domain name to get started. And again, that's very, very straightforward stuff that everyone should be doing. And again, we're talking about membership sites at the end of that, sales pages. Again, these are things that all go through based on your experience level. Starting off, you're going to have that yourname.com is going to be where you start off with your hub site. At the end of the day, after you've got things going, you're going to have a membership site, which is the natural result of following through with this process. You're going to have a membership site, which is basically a large portal that allows you to basically control and strengthen the relationships that you have built with all of these customers over the period of time that it's taken you to get to the membership site. Okay? So what we've done, we're going to build a website at this step three, and after that, we're going to have to add some traffic to it. And adding traffic is kind of funny because most people, specifically when they're online, they only think about online traffic. But really, there's online and offline traffic, and you have to look at both of them. And I've got a whole bunch of different areas that we focus on with the videos there. Understand that while there's some listings there, and if you don't see something, it doesn't mean you don't do it, and it doesn't mean that you have to do all of these. What you're going to do is take a look at the ones that are available there, and you're going to have to test and then decide, are these ones that apply to my particular market and my business? Are these ones that complement my strengths and weaknesses with my product and service and the way I'm promoting it? Or are the ones that don't fit? Use the ones that work. Stop using the ones that don't work for you. Very, very straightforward stuff. So step four is to build some traffic using these traffic generation techniques. Step five is building those or capturing those contacts. And we talked about this a little bit earlier on the purpose of building those websites. But we want to make sure that we capture these people on the hub site where we get started so that we can start to build the relationship. So we're going to look at things like pop-ups and squeeze pages and semi-membership sites and purchased leads. And I'm going to tell you a secret for most people. The fastest way to build a list or build a contact list is to purchase one and work backwards. A lot of people go, yeah, I've got a list of, 12,000 people. It's taken me a year to capture that many people coming to my website. And you go, that's great. You know you can go out and buy a list of 100,000 people tomorrow? And what you can do with that list of 100,000 people is work backwards. You can work backwards and have them self-qualify themselves. So instead of waiting a year to get 12,000 people, you could purchase 100,000 email addresses and have them raise their hand to let you know if they're interested in receiving more information from you. Excuse me. So there's all sorts of things that you can do in terms of building out those contact lists. But understand that what you want to do is you want to capture some leads. You want to find a way to manage those leads that you have, making sure that they're clean leads and contact information, segment them into potential products and services that you have, making sure that they have something that's accessible, you can actually deliver content to them. So we're going to start working on building your contact list. And after we've got a contact list, what we're going to do in step 6 is work on something called drip or event marketing. And you'll see there's a whole bunch of different kinds of drip marketing there, but there's two important ones. Some of those marketing events that you have are designed specifically to educate. Some of those marketing events that you have are designed specifically to sell. And it's my personal preference, and this is something you'll have to test in your market, that if you're informing and educating someone, that's what you do. If you're going to sell someone, that's what you do. Don't try and mix them, because I find that it's often confusing. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're doing a session, for example, like this, and I'm not going to mention that, hey, you should have a My Small Biz University account at the end, and that you get access to all of these courses, and there's free web hosting and all these other things. But the purpose of this particular session is information. It's not an hour-long sales pitch. There's content and value here that help people make a decision in my favor. I'm going to ask you to buy something at the end, but I'm not spending the entire hour doing a sales presentation that's building up to a purchase. So I think you should personally try and separate those particular events. One is to inform and educate. The other one is to get someone to take a purchase action today. But you're going to be doing both of them. Make sure that you do both of them. And there's a listing of all sorts of different ones there. And you'll notice that there's actually an hourglass next to one of them. And what I mean by that is you need to do it over time. One event is not enough for people. Two events may not be enough. Depending on your market and the dollar value of what you're selling, it may be one, it may be 10 events. I'm not really sure. But that's up to you to find out how long it takes before your customers buy. Tracking and testing, finding out what in fact it is that they need or don't need to know before they're ready to make a purchase decision. So there's all sorts of events that you want to do. While you educate and make offers with automated touches over multiple channels. Now the best thing is that you can use things like an autoresponder that automatically touches or brings information to people, markets to them over time on your behalf, so that you don't physically have to do it. And this is a powerful thing that you have to understand, is that, remember we talked over in number 2 about getting set up and systems? One of the things that you want to do is you want to automate as much of your marketing as possible. And this whole drip marketing process that we cover here makes that drop-dead simple. Once you've got information into a series, it's easy enough to get people started into that marketing process. And you know that after you've tested it after a while, you know that if you send in 100, you're going to get a certain amount out as sales over a certain amount of time. So we want to drip on them. We want to drip information and offers to purchase over time. Now, we're over on number 7, which is products, info products. And that's in this whole section on money spokes, 7 and 8. And I believe personally that at some point you're going to have your own products. Now, you don't have to start with your own products, but you're going to want to have your own products. And those products can be physical products, they can be digital products, they can be joint venture products. There's all sorts of variations that we cover there. But really what I want you to understand and want you to think about is that when you have your own products, you're in control. When you have someone else's products, they're in control. When you have your own products, it allows you to leverage your expertise and your products into other people's businesses that you can't necessarily do when you're selling someone else's products. And this gives you a huge leg up on everyone else when you have your own products and services. So we cover a whole bunch of different things that you can do. And also in the My Small Biz University site, we've got all sorts of ways for you to create your own products. I just want you to understand that number 7, we want to be able to sell products and services to people. And in fact, what we're doing in those money spokes is we're creating sites, additional domains that sell individual products and services to our customers. Now, I want you to think of this. If we had a car and it was on these really, really nice, expensive wheels that had a hub in the center and one spoke, would we have a nice, smooth ride? No, not at all. You need more than one spoke. The interesting thing with businesses on the internet is that the more spokes that you have, the smoother your revenue ride will be. If you can get multiple spokes all producing a little bit of income, you're going to have a much smoother cash flow situation than if you have one spoke producing revenue sporadically. Now, why is that? Well, you're spreading your risk over less of an area by having multiple spokes, but it really allows you to be more flexible also in how you market your business. You're not tied to one particular piece. You've got individual pieces that you can market to, that you can drip market to and let people know about. And this is the one distinction I want you to understand. We've talked about hub and spoke. We've talked about niche markets. But we haven't talked about themes. And I want you to just understand or think about this in this way. The hub site is our big site that has information about our business market. Our money spokes are our pages or products and services that are on specific themes, or pardon me, specific niches or problems that relate to the hub. So the theme of our business is the market. The money spokes are the products and services in the individual niches. All of your niches should support the hub or the theme of your business. So if you're talking about, if your business, for example, I saw a beautiful one is on cosmetics. A cosmetics business, for example, and they had all sorts of different sites that were on different aspects of cosmetics, whether it be lipsticks, eyeshadows, foundations. So they had individual sites and or products that supported individual niche markets in that particular area. I have another customer, for example, that does money management for black African Americans, and that's specific market that he's in. But that is his hub site. The theme of his business is financial management. He also has sites that support individual aspects of financial management, education, retirement savings, stock investment, real estate investments, all specific to his market. So you want to make sure that those money spokes and your products and services are niche-oriented, but they all relate to the theme or the hub of your business. And you want to have as many niche sites that support your hub as possible, and each of those niche sites or products and services is its own standalone website that sells specifically that particular product or service. Okay? So once we've got all this put in place, what do we need to do? Well, we've got the products and services in the sites. We've got to make sure that we can actually convert our visitors that we're sending there to paying customers. And that's where we get into step 9, where we take a look and say, what are the different things that we need to do to convert? And really, this one thing, conversion, is what it's all about. Because if you can't sell anything at the end of the day, guess what? You're not going to earn any money. And if you're not earning any money, you don't have a business. That's a charity. You may feel good about it, but you have trouble putting food on the table if you don't have any money to spend on groceries. So we want to make sure that we look at conversion, but more importantly, we want to make sure that we test and refine our persuasion strategy and skills. And we look at things, for example, like ad copy and tracking and testing and changing headlines and web copy. We look at things on the common objections that we run into and how we actually capture leads and how we look at persuading and influencing people, not only with the verbiage we use on a text page, but using things like video sales pages and audio on sales pages. But this process, we've just gone through 9 steps in an hour and a little bit, but these steps all fit together, and they're things that you're going to do as you start building and grow your business. This isn't stuff that you can skip. You'll have to end up doing all of these pieces at some point. And some people go, well, the map looks overwhelming. Well, this map that you're looking at includes all of the pieces. You don't have to use all of the pieces, but you're going to have to use all of the steps. And it's your job to go through and, first of all, make sure that, yes, I've done all of the 9 numbers that's there. I've done them all. But it's not your job to go and make sure that each time you do it, you have to use each of the individual pieces within that step. I think you want to look at it, evaluate it. You might even want to test it if you have time. But you've got to find some ones that fit specifically for you and your business that you're comfortable with, that you feel that you can do, or that you have the resources or access to the resources that they can do on your behalf. Now, at the bottom, you'll see there's beginners, intermediate, and advanced links. These are some specific checklists, that you can go through based on where your business is. If you're just starting, that's one set of steps. If you're building yours out, that's a different set of steps. And if you really want to grow it, that's a different set of steps. But it's all in the exact same process. So I hope you've had a chance to, you know, kind of look at this and think about it and go, okay, well, where do I fit into this? Am I committed to my business? Have I got a business model that I'm actually interested in and comfortable with? Have I done the research? Have I got set up? Do I have some websites set up? Am I starting to build some traffic or get people to my websites? And of those people that I'm getting, am I collecting some email addresses so I can start to build a relationship? And am I marketing to them over time and educating and asking them to buy something? And when they buy something, whose products are they? Are they my own or are they other people's products? And the sites that I'm sending them to, are they very good at converting people? Do they say the right things to get people to take some credit cards out of their wallet and put it down on the order form? And am I testing it to make sure that it works? And am I going back after I've tested it to verify that, in fact, hey, is my research accurate? Is this what's really happening? And you're going to cycle through this over and over and over again. And this is what your business is. It's right here on a single page. One single page with a process that anyone can follow. So I hope you enjoyed this little session. What we'll do is we're going to be doing more of these, obviously, one a month, and we'll break them down into more details. And, of course, the map actually has links. Every one of these pieces of text, any of the different colors that you see, the numbers, if you click on them, you'll see that there's a video that goes into detail on each of the individual pieces. My name is James Maduke. Hope you enjoyed this session. We'll be back again with more great information from the My Small Biz University, and more specifically, the Hub and Spoke Marketing Map. Thanks again, and expect the best.